Welcome back to the show, Amber.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
You know, our producer, Joe, has indicated that we were really high energy talking about the royal wedding and less so talking about these important education
yes.
issues. I think the obvious solution is to spend the rest of the show talking about the royal wedding.
Come on, research is exciting. Exciting
okay,
stuff.
Before we get to the research minute, let me ask you this. Have you all seen on Twitter the old Diane Ravitch making an appearance?
I have heard reference to that, yes.
It's very, and whoever's doing this, it's very good. I mean, they're spending a lot of time going back, linking to old articles that she wrote, you know, making statements like, I don't know why people are so afraid of the school choice thing.
Yep.
And, you know, quoting Al Shanker saying, you know, we know that our system is broken and we need to fix it. But the big question is, who is behind it?
It reminds me of Edu Wonk Et. Remember what a big mystery that was for so long? And now it's the same idea. Like, who is it?
Yeah. And somebody actually said, maybe it is the same person.
Is it really?
Maybe it's Edu Wonk Et. Jennifer, what's her name?
Yeah.
Jennifer Edu Wonk Et.
I don't know. My money's on Rick. He's been missing. No one knows where he is.
Rick?
Maybe he's in a closet tweeting under old Diane Ravitch.
It would be interesting since he has not yet learned how to tweet, you know, stuff.
Yeah. Or maybe that's just a ploy.
Just a play. I don't know. Who is it? I thought maybe Jay Green or something.
Wonder how long
the
they'll keep it up.
Yeah, it's pretty good, though.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but this is not the old Amber Winkler.
No,
it's the new Amber Winkler.
There you go.
By the way, I also thought instead of naming it old Diane Ravitch, maybe they should have named it young Diane Ravitch.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
true.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
true.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
What you got for us?
So this week, we've got a new study out by IES conducted by Mathematica. That means it's good. That asks, do low-income students have equal access to the highest performing teachers?
This is not about the royal wedding.
Prior research has shown that schools with more disadvantaged students tend to have teachers with weaker credentials, but we know that those things are not linked to teacher effectiveness. There's actually very little research about teacher effectiveness and its relationships to student demographics. So here, researchers examined value-added scores for teachers in 10 large unnamed school districts, which comprise roughly 11,000 teachers and over 700 schools. They labeled the top 20% of teachers within each subject and grade span, meaning elementary and middle, as highest performing. In other words, students in these teachers' classes averaged greater gains across multiple years than similar students taking similar courses in the district from other teachers. All right, then they ranked the schools by poverty. Finally, the findings. They found that low-income students have unequal access on average to the district's highest performing teachers at the middle school level, but not at the elementary level, which is kind of a head-scratcher for me. When they examined the districts individually, however, there were mixed patterns, which is understandable, meaning some had an underrepresentation of high-performing teachers at high-poverty schools, and others had an overrepresentation of high-performing teachers at high-poverty schools. It's important to note that these districts were purposefully chosen, so the findings are not generalizable. Still, this adds another interesting angle to the research around high-performing teachers and their placement.
Which leads me to ask, when the royal couple starts having children, what kind of teachers will they have?
It's going to be really not hard to figure out.
Okay. Now, this sounds like similar to a study that Eric Hanishek came out with not too long ago, showing that these differences between high and low poverty schools were less than you would think.
Yeah, and the Figlio study that said, you know what, the top teachers can kind of do a good job, whether they're in a high or low performing school, but it's the lowest teachers, I don't know if you remember the study, it's the lowest teachers that sort of, the low teachers and the high poverty schools are worse than the lower effective teachers in the, you know what I'm saying.
Now, anyway. With value added, is it easier in general to boost the value added score of a child who is scoring low to begin with?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it is, right? I mean, because on these state tests that they're using, I mean, some of these high performing kids are topping out.
Right. Ceiling.
So
that's
also
not taken into it. Value-added does not take that into account.
Oh, yeah, these guys do. I mean, this is, yeah, absolutely. I mean, these are top, this is like Glazer men at Mathematica, so.
But how do you handle that? I mean, I don't know how you deal with that fact that if you're talking about low poverty schools with a lot of kids that are scoring high and topping out in the test.
Right. Well, they're using like 3 or 4 years. It's like fixed effects, I'm assuming, where they're looking at, you know, prior performance and achievement of these kids and following it over time. So, I mean, they're taking into, obviously, consideration their past performance.
Yeah.
So, you know, what you would expect for one kid is going to be, you know, obviously different than another kid.
So is it fair to say that the teacher quality gap does not actually exist?
I think we're not there yet. I think that's a pretty strong statement. I mean, especially given Hanischek's and Figlio's work, which was very complex. Mm-hmm. I actually reread that study before I came on to look at it again. And they brought up a bunch of interesting questions, you know, but we definitely need to be looking at teachers, you know, the highly effective and the lower teachers and the types of schools they're placed in. But I think it was pretty interesting that, you know, the high, really effective teachers can keep that effectiveness mm-hmm. no matter what type of school you put them in.
Yeah.
But it's the teachers at the lower range that we need to, you know, probably give a little more help to.
Did this study say anything about the district's other, you know, it said that they're unnamed, but did it say this district that had more high-performing teachers in low-poverty schools had some sort of, you know, placement practice of teachers? Or
yeah,
it didn't say anything
they didn't
like
do that.
That.
They didn't. They didn't go into any of that. And I thought they would at least name the districts, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. They were pretty hush-hush about that. So.
Well, it seems to me, I mean, this can cut a couple different ways. One is to say, hey, raise questions about the education trust line forever, saying there's this huge teacher quality gap, and mm-hmm. therefore we need to figure out how to strip mine teachers out of wealthy schools and send them to poor schools. Raises some questions about that. The other thing, though, is that, you know, for teachers out there who feel like reformers are beating up and saying that, you know, the problem is we have bad teachers in these high poverty schools, I think it's fair to say back to the reformers, no, we don't. Mm-hmm, I mean, the evidence right. may be that actually we've got pretty decent teachers in those high poverty
that's
schools.
Right. And
so stop saying that yeah. it's the teacher's fault.
Yeah, and clearly when they look at these individual districts, there are some districts presumably that are doing some placement of these high, you know, hand-picking mm-hmm. and saying you're going to go here, you know, which is another, Mathematica is actually doing a study like that to mm-hmm. sort of say if you move teachers around, what is it, you know, what does it look like when they're in these different settings? But I mean, the middle school thing, what do you guys think about mm-hmm. that? Like, why it's would we see it more at the middle school?
I feel like that's because everyone avoids middle school. You only get stuck with middle school if you're at the bottom of the barrel.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is, I mean, middle schools tend to be more diverse than elementary schools, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's more often that you'll find mixed income middle schools than, and at the elementary school, you know, neighborhood is mostly either all wealthy or all not. And anyways, I don't know what
yeah,
to think about that.
I know. I wish they had did some hypothesizing on that, but they didn't.
So what song
so
could possibly go with this
song,
study?
Song, and this was with Joe's help, since we're talking here that some kids are more fortunate than others in terms of access to effective teachers. We have Fortunate Son by Creedence Clearwater Revival. Yes.